Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, March 25th, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 46, the second paragraph, starting with "Much to Our Relief," reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., 12 Traditions, Christina M. Reader of the text, Laura R. Jody E. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Eileen D. The reference number for Wednesday, March 24th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,636. That's 16636. And for this morning, Thursday, March 25th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 16,648. That's 16648. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Mary B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Dawn B. Good morning, Team Thursday. This is Audrey M.P., grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Santa Monica, California. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had to become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Audrey M.P. I'll now have Christina M. read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal welfare depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. On page 46, the second paragraph, much to our relief, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I'll now ask Laura R. to begin reading. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek Him. To us, the realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Wow. What hope. You know, what hope. I don't even know what direction I want to go with this paragraph this morning, because there's just so many different directions. But I guess because it's my, you know, I can share my story and what my experience was, and ultimately that's what we do. But I guess I want to say that alcohol, for starters, alcohol is a great persuader, or food is a great persuader. It beats us into a state of reasonableness. And we had 44 pages plus the doctor's opinion of really identifying if we had the problem. You know, do I have a problem of the mind and the body? Once I start, can I stop? You know, and for me, the answer is no. And so I needed, what I'm learning, and this, you know, up to this point, is that I lack power. And I heard someone say before that I can't, you know, this is an inside problem. It's a spiritual malady. The spiritual malady is what drives the mental obsession. And then if I have the mental obsession, I pick up, you know, the food. So I can't use outside resources to fix an inside problem. I have to find God. And what I love is that, one, I get to choose my own conception. And two, I just have to admit that it's not me. At this point, I don't even have to, like, try to identify what it is. Like, and oh my gosh, I have taken years to try to figure that one out. And what I've come to is that I will never know. God is God. Like, it's just so, such a big concept. I have found something that works for me today, but I am still open, you know, to that. And that's, I think, the biggest thing for me. I was never open when I first came in here. much to our relief, we did not have to take someone else's conception of God. That took forever for me to realize that I didn't have to take the God of my birth, because I was so scared if I didn't, something was going to happen to me. You know, I don't know where I got that, but that's what it was. So it was such a beautiful thing to come in here and realize that I get to choose my own conception. And I think it's the process of going through these steps that I experience God, a higher power, a source, you know, whatever that is for you. And at this point, you know, I already kind of have an experience in step one. I kind of get, we get defeated, but also there's a little bit of like, oh, you know, the gig's up, you know, I'm just like, okay. And also when I realize that spiritual malady is bubbling inside me, and unless I get some kind of, you know, God or food, it's going to be one of the two. And again, it's a higher power of my own understanding. But then as I go and walk through the steps, this, I just have to just be willing to believe in something. And as I continue on through those steps, I start experiencing power that I've never experienced before. And it's so amazing. And unfortunately, we could talk about it until we're blue in the face, but until you experience it for yourself, you're not going to understand. You know, it's like we can listen to these meetings. Thank you. Listen to these meetings and show up and have a fellowship. But if we're not doing the work to experience that power, it's just not going to work. So anyway, I am just a grateful member of this program. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Laura R., for getting us started. And I'll now be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Lois P.
Lois P.
Liz T.
Liz T.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. We'll take
Wendy
one more.
A.
Pardon?
Janine J.
Janine J. Okay, we have Kristen R., Lois P., Liz T., Jordan L., and Janine J. All right, Kristen R., will you get us started, please?
Oh, thank you, moderator. I appreciate your service and everybody who's making this meeting possible. My name is Kristen R. I'm a gratefully recovering compulsive eater in Virginia. And I love this whole chapter because it opens me up to hope, which is the principle of step two, hope. When I first came into program, I believed in God, but in sort of a compartmentalized way. And God would show up when I, you know, remember to talk to him. But now God is a part of my everyday life. God is in every part of my life. And God is what I call my higher power. And helps me grow in ways that I had never expected. But mostly what God puts in my path each day is a chance to be of service. And even when I don't know what the next right thing to do is, I can pray. I can slow down and I can say a prayer. And I can say, how would you use me today? What would you have me do? And God will answer me. It may be through a phone call that comes in. It may be speaking in a meeting. It may be 1,000 different things. But if I just connect, if I plug the toaster oven in, the toaster oven will work. Well, if my spirituality is a toaster oven, I got to plug in. If I plug in each day through my morning meditation and through prayer, and if I continue to pray throughout the day, then I get that connection. I get that electrified connection that keeps me present, it keeps me in service, which is where God wants me to be. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kristen R. from Virginia. Lois P., will you share with us, please?
Yes, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. I love this paragraph because it's very personal. The experience of coming to relationship with something other than ourself, other than my own mind, my own feelings, coming into relationship with that just takes a willingness, as it says here, our own concept, doesn't have to be anyone else's. It's something that is a very deep and personal experience when one comes to that understanding that there is a profound, glorious, ever-present presence, a spirit of the universe that is beautifully running everything, including my own life. And to make the transition from the little self of Lois to this greater contact with something much greater than who I am as a small being, and I become merged with this higher spirit, this higher intelligence, is just a simple matter of believing and entrusting. And for me, this paragraph is very beautiful because all I need to do is look around at life. It's so unimaginable, I can't understand any of it, how things work, why things happen the way they do. And at that moment, when I can just surrender into knowing that I'm really ignorant of what is really happening here, therein lies the doorway. Therein lies, for me, the sense of openness and a whole new sense of direction and being in relationship to something that is so much more profound, that's underlying the totality of everything. And again, it's a very personal experience. And the way I was brought up, I was given concepts that sort of were stepping stones. But for me, now with vision, with this book, with paragraphs like this, it's helped me launch into a whole new life, a whole new way of being in relationship with this magnificent creative intelligence, the spirit of the universe. And it's all about just me believing and reaching out. And that's how simple it is. And that's what I have found to be this great, magical new life that God has given me, being in relationship to that supreme power, thanks to this program and to the steps and all the wonderful people behind it who are making this happen in my life. So thank you, Dawn, for your service, and thank you, everyone who's on the line. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lois P. Liz T., will you share with us and let us know where you're calling from?
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minnesota. And thank you, Dawn, for your service. You know, this whole chapter, it's just every time I read in it, it's just more and more eye-opening to me. And, you know, I came into program 6 years ago, and I thought I had a conception of a higher power, you know, the one I grew up with that many of us kind of come in with that idea too, or maybe we had nothing at all. But the more and more I have worked through the steps over the years, I realize how much I have lived by an agnostic temperament, and how I thought I was returning, or I thought I was turning my will and my life over to a higher power in step three. You know, I would get on my knees and say the third step prayer, but then it'd be in a matter of minutes or days. I'd be, you know, all caught up back in self-will, trying to run the show, trying to be the director, being the actor, trying to be the director, all of that. And also, you know, the prejudices I had and the judgments I had about other people. So this whole chapter keeps reminding us it's a willingness, you know, willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves. We commence to get results. And it's just that little seed of willingness. I'm working with a sponsee that's starting her third, you know, her work in her third step. And that's what we talked about yesterday. It's just a willingness to believe in something greater than ourselves. And then we find out later it's actually deep down within us, and it has been all along. I've been trying to fill my spiritual hole with everything from the material world, and my God-shaped hole is meant for my higher power, and I've been trying to fill it with material things, food, you know, attention, esteem, higher education, other people's opinions of me. I mean, the list could go on, and those are all things that were revealed in my fourth step, and even more deeply in my sixth and seventh steps. I should say fourth and fifth, and then even more deeply in six and seven. And then I get to see them again on my daily 10th and 11th step review. So never cured. We can be recovered and free from the compulsion to compulsively overeat. But once the food is down, guess what? Those character defects are flat in our face, and we get to keep continuing to work on those for a lifetime, and with God's help to remove them. With that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Liz T. from Minnesota. Jordan L., will you share with us, please? Good morning. Star one, Jordan.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, cool. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be on a meeting and abstinent with you guys this morning. Thank you for moderating this morning. this paragraph, man, as the opening reader was reading it, I was listening and got to the end, and the words that came to mind was a power we can live by. And I was just moved instantly, which I got to say, that wasn't something that used to happen to me. These days I get moved pretty easily. I most of the time am able to maintain like an open heart for the most part, which was not the case when I got here. I came in here with a pretty closed off, cold heart. but with lots of meetings and coming back over and over and over again, and working the steps over and over and over again, you know, not just 10, 11, and 12. I go through all 12 steps over and over and over again. That's changed for me. Like that, I've opened up to things that I wasn't previously open to. Including some of the ideas in this paragraph, like my own conception, however inadequate, and the realm of the spirit being broad, roomy, and all-inclusive, and open, we believe, to all people. those were things that I my heart was not open to when I got here. I was like Bill. I closed down every time someone mentioned a God that might be personal to me, or a power that I could live by on a daily basis. That was an off-limits idea when I got here, and I think it's worth mentioning that the way that changed is was by bearing witness to the examples that I found in this room when I got here. So people on this meeting, even one of the examples that comes to mind, there was a point where I was dropped by my sponsor and I was in the middle of a four step and I needed to fist step it. And I called up this total stranger and she offered to listen to my fist step. That was God. Like that was my first higher power. This mutual understanding amongst compulsive overeaters, to help each other, get and stay abstinent in this room. You know, like that's the only power I needed to start off on this journey. So anyway, thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. We'll now have Janine J. share with us, please. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning. It's Janine J. from Maryland. Glad to be on the meeting. Thank you, Don, for your service. And good morning, everybody. This paragraph is speaking to me this morning. And part of it is the underlying, the totality of things. When I first came to OA, I didn't think God cared about my food. I knew God cared about lots of other things in my life, but I thought, why does God care about my food? And then it occurred to me, you know, that's part of what nourishes me, what keeps me going every day. So, you know, those who earnestly seek him. And I do earnestly seek the God of my understanding every day. You know, for me, it's through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I do seek that guidance every day. So if I can stay on the track at the moment, yes, I am abstinent. I've been coming to the vision meeting since October, and it's been wonderful and really nourishing my program. So I'm grateful you're all on the line, and I thank everybody for your shares. I'm at the moment in remission from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I have neuropathy in my feet. So, you know, I've been led to do some acupuncture, and it's helping. And so things that would have led me before back to the food, you know, I'm being led to do things that will help me recover in other ways. So I'm so grateful to the God of my understanding and to all of you for your service and shares. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janine J. from Maryland. Well, we are on page 46, the second paragraph that starts with, "Much to our relief." And we're commenting on that one paragraph only, and I'm now going to open up the lines to take names of people who would like to share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning? Matt M.
Eileen M.
Eileen
Shanna.
M.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB.
Debbie
Shanna.
B.
Wendy M. Boulder.
Was there a Shannon?
Yes, Shanna C.
Shanna?
Yes.
C. And I missed some people there.
Wendy M.
Wendy
Boulder.
M.
Debbie P.
Debbie P.
Amy K. Leah R.
Amy K. And Leah R.
Leah
and
R.
Who is that? Leah?
Leah R.
Leah R. Okay, we'll stop there. Got a lovely lineup here. We've got Matt M., Eileen M., Sherry KB, Shauna C., Wendy M., Debbie P., Amy K., and Leah R. Matt M., will you share with us, please? Good morning.
Thank you very much, moderator. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. I just wanted to share, I didn't really believe that God wanted anything to do with me or my compulsive overeating. I was very angry for so many years. I was very bitter. I was just putting on weight, like, so fast. I got up to almost 700 pounds, even in the rooms, in my worst of my relapse. I was, like, living in a trailer. It was falling apart around me. I wasn't bathing for weeks on end. My bills were piling up around me. I was spending my rent money. I was going to get evicted multiple times from my association in the trailer court. I was spending my money selling my house, like going water through a sieve. I didn't care. I was living when I stayed to eat. I didn't care. This was back 2 years ago. And I didn't care anymore. And even recently now, I was living one night day to eat. I didn't care anymore until my friend, a light came into my life, my friend Carol, and she saved my life. She said I saved hers too. She saved mine. And we've had a tumultuous relationship up and down because of lying. I'm a liar by nature, and she doesn't like liars. But I'm very grateful for her because she, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be where I am today. She's my financial advisor. She's my best friend. She saved my life by helping me order my food and helped me come over and make sure I'm okay. She checks on me every day. She calls me every day, and I'm very grateful. She's like the light of my tunnel. She's not my higher power. My higher power put her in my life. There's a difference. I'm not looking to her as my higher power, and she's like kind of like my sponsor now. I go to the meeting every day. I talk to her about it every after the meeting, and I read the big book with her, and I do all kinds of things every day. I do everything she asks of me, and, you know, it's great, and I'm grateful. And I do the next right thing, and I'm trying not to take advantage of people anymore. It's hard because my base nature is to be a liar and cheat, lie and steal, and I'm not doing that anymore. I'm back in the meetings, the Vision for You meetings. I'm going to meetings every day now, and I'm doing the next right thing. It's not easy because I struggle every day with my abstinence. I do things that I know, and I'm very grateful and honest with her. And it's not easy to be honest. I struggle with that, but I'm taking it one day at a time. And my hygiene is getting better. I'm showering every other day. I'm brushing my teeth. I'm going to my doctor's appointments. I'm getting a haircut this Saturday. I'm taking care of myself. Self-care is best care. I just want to share with you all. I'm very glad to be back. I never left the rooms, but I left mentally. I left mentally, not physically, but mentally I left. but I'm very glad to be back. I love you all, and I'm just glad to be back here, and you take care of yourselves, and I love you all, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt M., and we're very happy for you. Eileen M., will you share with us now, please, followed by Sherry K.B. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Eileen M. Thank you for your service. I'm calling in from New Hampshire. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I love this paragraph. It's so powerful. You know, I was thinking back to when I got my first sponsor from the Vision meeting, and she has very strong religious convictions, which I don't share that because I'm not a religious person, but she would often share her conception of God, and I would just kind of sit there and bristle because I just thought, okay, that doesn't work for me, but I was willing to be open because I had been beaten into a state of reasonableness. So, you know, I was willing to listen to her, and, you know, that did not interfere with us working together. We were able to, you know, work together and get through the steps, and, you know, it was just, I'm so grateful that I was, you know, I was that open that I could do that, because it did used to bother me, but it doesn't bother me now. It doesn't, it's not a problem, like when I sponsor people that have different religious beliefs than I do. And I find this sentence that says, you know, our own conception, whatever our conception was, we could still make the approach. And, you know, one of the things that was really helpful, my sponsor asked me to come up with a statement of what I wanted my higher power to be for me. And, you know, what characteristics do you need? And, you know, one of the things I said was, I want this higher power to be attentive and to be unconditional. And, you know, that was so helpful to come up with that statement. No one had ever asked me that. I'd been in OA for 26 years prior to finding the Vision meeting 5 years ago. And, you know, no one had ever said that. And that was really helpful for me because from that starting point, I could then develop a relationship with God. And I find that, you know, as I let God into my life every day, you know, one day at a time, that relationship has developed and it has evolved over time. You know, it's much stronger than it was in the beginning. And, you know, I was so grateful for this. So that's what I want to say. So thanks so much, everyone, for your service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M. Sherry KB, will you share with us now, followed by Shauna C. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Dawn, and Team Thursday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And this is one of my favorite paragraphs. It's so beautiful. I love the way it talks about a conception, my conception, your conception, the effect that my contact with my higher power will have. I love that it talks about creative intelligence and a spirit of the universe, just other two words for a higher power. And that, you know, once I connect with that higher power of the language of my own heart, of my understanding, and my continue to grow with it, that I get that power and direction just by working these steps. That's amazing to me. And that, you know, that my higher power, you know, makes it not hard for me to seek this higher power. And I think that's what it's all about. That's the key. The key is seeking that higher power. I've always been told that our higher power is like a lady or a gentleman, whichever you prefer, and that doesn't, you know, just come in unless invited. And so it's so important for me to invite my higher power in daily throughout the day, getting unblocked by putting the food down, getting connected with this higher power, the language of my own heart, my understanding, and growing into that understanding. The realm of the spirit, you know, to me, that's what it's saying, is that this higher power that's greater than I am has so much room for me to grow and change. And it's it, it includes everybody. It's never exclusive. It's for all of us. It's no matter who you are, no matter walk of life you come from, it doesn't matter because we're all here together. And I really believe in my heart that's why 12 steps hang around as long as they have and work as long as they have because of this paragraph, because it's here for all of us. It doesn't matter. There's a broad highway for me, for you, for anyone who wants to seek it, who wants a better way of life, who wants to get recovered from this disease. It can help it. It can happen. And just to seek it, and notice that the seek is in here a couple of times. It's like that's the magic in it. It's just to seek it, and it's really empowering and powerful, and I just love it. I just think this is one of the most beautiful paragraphs in the book. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB from California. Shauna C., will you share with us, followed by Wendy M.? Good morning, Shauna.
Good morning. Yes, this is Shauna C. from East Tennessee. Grateful recovered compulsive eater through the grace of a power greater than myself that I wasn't sure cared about me or was interested in doing really anything to help me with this problem that I really didn't completely understand. I don't have a whole lot to add because everyone so shared so beautifully. I will say that I know that for me, I've been a member of a 12-step fellowship for a really long time, and by the time I became completely and totally willing to go to any length to recover from my compulsive eating. Like I said, I had been in 12-step fellowship for a long time and thought I had, I did have a connection with God. I had experienced multiple miracles in my life and in my own, you know, relationships healed as a result of following directions in this book in that area. But for some reason, I could not grasp the idea that I was a compulsive eater. I couldn't concede to my innermost self that I really had this, but it was like when I did, that's when the openness came to just really seek God. It was one of those experiences where it's like, okay, God, I don't know what you're going to have to do or what this is going to look like or what I'm going to have to do, but I need you to remove this problem from me because I've tried everything, even 12-stepping it in another fellowship. I hear credits not transfer or whatever. And it's so like, true, kind of, but anyway, all I know is God showed up when I said, I cannot do this anymore, and I had was given just enough willingness to pick up the phone and call into a Vision for You and listen to a special edition on that particular day. This woman was literally telling my story, and I was like, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I could give her a call afterward. I was like, can you please help me? This is what's going on. And it just so happened that week she had a spot open up for a sponsee. And I believe at that time my mental obsession was lifted. And by working through the steps, following those directions, has kept that mental obsession away and continuing to live in 10, 11, and 12 now. I don't know how God's doing it, but I know that it isn't me. For me to go a year and a half without compulsively eating with no sugar, flour, you know, all these trigger foods and stuff is an absolute miracle for me. And that's what helps me become willing to believe, is I can look back on experiences throughout the process and be like, wow. But I do. I ask God every day for the willingness and the ability to stick with the food plan and to do what he'd have me do and to stay in these steps and 10 step when I need to, and to do everything I need to do because I can't do it. I can't muster up the willingness on my own. Anyway, that's all I've got. I appreciate you guys listening and for you guys being here. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Shauna C. Wendy M., will you share with us now, please, followed by Debbie P. Good morning, Wendy. Star one to unmute, Wendy.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. There is a God. thank you so much, Don, for your service. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. I'm so happy to be on the line. You know, the paragraph starts with the word yes. You know, it's a yes program. Yes, yes. You know, if we lean in, if we just have that teeny seed of willingness, you know, our lives change completely. And what I like to say is I didn't grow up with a God. I grew up with, you know, a synagogue that was political, and that was our God, and that was fine. But I joke that I didn't grow up with a God because I was God. So, I you know, it's like, what? I don't understand. You know, and my head was swimming in that. I didn't know I was playing God my entire life until this program, right? And what we get to do here is we differentiate the truth from the false. So when I'm playing God, I call one of you guys, and you're God with skin on, and then you go, hi, you're in your disease, right? Your head is full of the disease. Good, good to know. Now I can differentiate the truth from the false. So first I need to know that I'm not God. That's pretty important. And the other thing I like to say is that I don't, I always say I don't actually know if God exists, but I experience God all the time, all day long, right? So when I pick up that phone and I don't want to answer it, and it's somebody who needs help, that I experience God. When I tell you guys the truth about something I don't want to tell you, I experience God. You know, when I surrender anything, when I pick up the phone, when I say, Wendy M., I'd like to share, that's a God. You know, God's cheering in the background, and that's experiencing God. And I find more and more that God really is an experience for me. It's not an intellectual thought. It's when I'm meditating and between the breath, so I breathe in, and then I have that momentary moment between when I breathe out. That's God. That's the awareness. And what I find more and more is that as I experience God, I get the ease and comfort that I was trying to get with people, places, things, food, you name it, because I'm now experiencing God. I know how to get to God and have that awareness, because God is, for me, pure awareness. And it's such a calm, wonderful feeling. And it's literally, I don't need to get anything outside of myself, including food, because I'm experiencing God. I'm in God. I'm in the flow. I'm in the river. I'm tapping that inner resource that we all have. Does it happen all the time? No way. You know, I go back to Will. I go back to playing God. And then I re-remember, and then I practice. And I heard somebody on the line this morning say, the more she trusts God, the more she's going to take an action. And the more she takes an action, the more she's trusting God. And it just gets stronger, that connection, you know, kind of like when you're listening. Is that my time? Great. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. Debbie P., will you share with us? And I want to remind everyone we're on page 46, the second paragraph, much to our relief. Go ahead, Debbie, and you'll be followed by Amy K. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Debbie P. from Indiana. I love everything that I've heard today that's been shared. I especially love the hope in this paragraph. And what else came to mind for me about a higher power? So I don't have to consider another's concept of God, but even my concept of God, I refused to consider for a while. So this kind of brought me back to step two, where I came to and then came to believe. And I came and I heard what was said about God, and that I couldn't work these steps. I couldn't not compulsively overeat without God, but I still continued to try. And then I came to, I became abstinent. That gave me the ability to start my relationship with a higher power and start asking for help with anything. I've always thought that, you know, food especially, infants know when to stop eating, so I should too. And that's just not the case. And I can stop shooting myself now, and I can ask my higher power for help with that. And then I came to believe. I came to believe because I kept coming back, and I kept listening, and I kept asking for willingness. I kept trying to find my way. Today I do ask for help every day with my food, as well as my daily experiences, I guess. And I love the share about God being an experience. I think that probably resonates more with me than just being God. It's an experience that I do know exists. I do feel that presence. So anyway, I really appreciate everyone on the line and everyone's service, and Dawn for your service, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. Amy K., will you share with us now, followed by Lee R.? Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. I'm Amy K. in New York, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm very grateful to be on the line this morning. I'm just struck by the use of the word relief, much to our relief. And I know that I wouldn't bother being in the rooms if I weren't looking for relief. I'm looking for relief from my compulsive overeating and from my need to control everybody and everything, even the words that are going to come out of my mouth right now. So I remember, I've been in the rooms a long time, and I remember sitting around a table with slogans propped up on the table. And the one that was the most frustrating for me was "let go and let God." And it's not because I didn't want to admit that there was a God. I was more than willing. I just had no conception of what that could possibly mean. And I can viscerally just feel the frustration that I felt then, just begging people to tell me what that meant. And then I probably closed my ears and didn't hear what they said in response. But when it was explained to me more recently that my trying to control everybody and everything and thinking that I'm responsible for everybody and everything is a form of agnosticism. It is agnosticism. It is a great relief to me to know that there is a God and that we all have our own conception, and that I'm not in charge of the world. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Amy K. from New York. Lee R., will you share with us now, please? Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Hi, thanks for your service. This is Leah R. from New York. I'm very grateful to be on this meeting today with all of you and to hear the shares that strengthen my recovery, puts my feelings into words. My conception of God in the food was very different. Now that I had to put down the food, since I admitted I'm a compulsive overeater, and I just had to completely surrender to this simple program, which is outlined in the Big Book, directions in the Big Book of how we work the steps. This is a new language for me. This is a new, even though I'm in it for a few years, it's like every day. It's like the first day I'm doing it. That frustrates me at times. I felt my higher power in a new way, in a better way, in an absent way, and then boom, it's like starting all over again and again every day. Sometimes at any moment I have to start over, and that's just shaking my God. In my conception, I grew up with a I think a positive conception of God, which when I started working the steps and I became abstinent, I realized the reality was kicking in. I realized that wasn't the God that I connected to, that I served, that I hoped for. It just wasn't that way. So that's where I'm actually at. To find my, thank you so much, find my connection with my higher power now with recovery and abstinence. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Leah R. from New York. I will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here and for your service. My name is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.